SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, coming up on 15 into Hour 3. Busy weekend preview, of course, because it's a mammoth weekend of racing. Having a visit here with Ed and with James Scully, and we got to get their opinions in. Too big of a weekend not to get to the pair of them. So Ed will start, and then we'll add James in as Casey tracks him down. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, good to be with James. The big push I was going to give to your listeners is James and I have started a weekly video podcast tracking the point series as we wind our way to Derby 2019. So just wanted to encourage everyone to check that out. Fun conversation, hopefully some winners, and good insight.
Ed, where is it going to be accessible? Is it just within the TwinSpires blog section, or how are you going to access it?
Yes, so we have a TwinSpires channel on YouTube, so you can subscribe to that and get updates when that goes up. And then we're also snipping because Twitter doesn't allow as long a video, but on the at TwinSpires and my own feed EJXC2. We're snipping our picks for each race as they come up and showing some replays as well. So hitting all the social media stuff, but for those who want to make sure they know where to find the full video, YouTube, the TwinSpires channel, definitely the place to subscribe.
Excellent. Well, I think James is in there with us too. Scully?
Yes, hey, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning. We are back after an extended delay or an extended period without the ability to merge two of you on the line. We're back to it and delighted because it makes for fun conversation and point counterpoint and always great to be able to put a whole powwow together. We'll let you guys quickly ping pong through the action. Let's start in New York. Ed, what are you doing?
Jockey Club Gold Cup, I think, is the most interesting race of the weekend. Great mix of storylines and horses. Diversify, I have a lot of respect for. I tweeted the stat on the Bristnet pace rating. He's one of only three graded stakes third horses to run a 110 E1 figure, a 130 E2, and still win the race. The other two are Gunrunner and Arrogate. Pretty good company. And he's done it at the classic distance. So he is formidable, but I am giving Mendelsohn the nod at the price. I think he's rounding back into form. I saw nothing wrong with his Travers. Catholic Boy was better that day. He was still game and holding off Bravazo. I think we're going to get the right price for him. And I also mentioned on Twitter, I think Luch, Uno Mas Modelo, isn't without a chance to hit the number at a big price. Has the right running style, and there is speed in here. Maybe the scallops along for the mile and a quarter, and that could be good enough to crash the party in a race where there are questions surrounding a lot of horses. So that's how I see that one, Steve.
James?
I respect Diversify as well. It'll be really tough, love Spellbond's part. But the horse that I give the best chance to beat him is Gronkowski. Came back from that layoff and that Travers, and, he was checked, and then he was just done. He was, you weren't a track quite forward that day. He didn't have a good trip, I didn't think, but comes back to Belmont, where he ran a really good race in the Belmont Stakes, close it for second. If anybody's going to run down Diversify in the stretch, I think it's going to be Gronkowski, and I'm sort of looking at it where, I'll box those two horses in an exacta.
Very good. Quickly back and forth, Ed, Pilgrim, Turf Classic?
The Turf Classic, and with all the rain, it'll be interesting to see what comes of this. And reminded of Gio Ponti trying to trace home interpretation. So always on the lookout for a big price. I will note, though, that I thought, and I didn't like them, on Arlington Million Day, but I thought Robert Bruce was spectacular, and maybe tomorrow's not the day. But if it's not, and weather's a factor, it just doesn't trip out, I wouldn't be discouraged about his Breeders' Cup chances. So that's kind of my thought process on that race.
James?
I like Candlemaker, Steve. I really like those last two efforts by him. He was, like, you know, in the Bowling Green, came back from a freshening in that. Really, I thought, improved upon his first his two previous stakes efforts. And last time, you know, he didn't really settle comfortably, but still managed to easily finish a clear second. He's just, I like his potential as well for a good trip from that outside post on Jose, under Jose Ortiz. I think he's going to be sitting about, you know, second, and I think it's going to be a really moderate, slow pace. And I just look at him, and, you know, like I said, improving four-year-old for Belmont, and I give him a chance at upset Channelmaker.
How about the two-year-old race, James?
Well, you know, in the two-year-old race, I thought Some Like It Hot Brown, faltered that last time in the with anticipation, but I give him a chance to come back, make amends for that effort, and look for him to run really big there for Maker.
Ed?
For me, the only two-year-old race I really dug into was the Awesome Again, but I do remember having a similar view as James on Some Like It Hot Brown, but can't commit since I haven't
no problem
handicapped that.
Well, that's fine. Let's go to Churchill and the stakes pick three. I didn't bring it up with Marty, but you know the Arabian stake is, as we say in Yiddish, mitten drinnen, in the middle of everything. It's bizarre, but so be it. Give us at least the pick three with the stakes, James.
I like Hot Springs in the Jefferson Cup. I think he's been making good progress. I like that maiden, that allowance win three starts back at Churchill. He broke his maiden one allowance. Really good second in that Ken. I just thought he was facing much better last time in the Saranac. So he's got that right profile in there for me for Steve Asmussen.
Go right through the pick three, and then we'll let
Ed do it. And then in the ACAC, Steve, I like CZ Rocket. I just don't think there's much pace in that race. He loves Churchill Downs, and I just think he's capable of dominating on the front end. The horse that he beat in that Kelly's Landing came back and won by open lens yesterday. And I just think he's intriguing for the dirt mile. I mean, we obviously have Catalina Cruiser in that race, but CZ Rocket is a horse that has run his best races at Churchill, and I don't think they're going to beat him. Now, in the Lucas Classic, obviously, Monier Biscuit, I think, is going to be a solid favorite, but, you know, I'm part of the group that thinks he's better at shorter distances, and I'm willing to go against him in that spot. And I've landed on Term of Art. You know, he's got good tactical speed. He's got huge burst late pace numbers. I thought that effort in the West Virginia Governors last time was really a sharp performance, got a big speed rating from it. And last time, he just didn't have the right trip. I mean, that was a trouble trip in that Woodward. Still passed horses in the stretch for six. Look for him to move forward off that effort. He's got some potential for Brad Cox.
Ed?
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if people confuse me and James because we have the same picks, not because we look alike. We're pretty similar. The Jefferson's our biggest diversion. I like Majestic Eagle, marooned on the outside at Del Mar, which, you know, Churchill's somewhat of a similar layout, but I think Del Mar even worse to be on the outside coming out of that chute and now drawn mid-pack here. Think can either control the pace or be right off it. So Majestic Eagle and the Jefferson. Agree on CZ Rocket. Think from the outside, he clears giant expectations and just gets the right trip on the front end under Bridgemo. And then in the Lucas, I do have Term of Art on top for a lot of the reasons James stated. I like that it still showed some run at the end of the Woodward, even though he was always out of it. Flowers for Lisa, I thought was interesting, is maybe the speed of the speed. There's definitely a lot of pace in here, but I think we're getting the right price. On Navarro, who sometimes can pop a number on these horses. So that's one I'm looking at as well, but definitely trying to beat Mind Your Biscuits. And I will give out a note in the president of the UAE Cup, since it is part of so much. Vest is Awesome on the outside. I definitely think is a wire threat. Quicksand on the rails is the most likely winner. So I'm going to use 1-9 in the Maltese, and hopefully the sharks stay out of those pools, and Arabian races are, you know, it's an outlier, but I think the race goes through those two.
Very good. I'm glad. I appreciate it. Let's go to California. And, Ed, you said you looked at the two-year-old race, and let's get an opinion on the American Pharoah and anything else that is going on out there.
Yeah, and I think I said the awesome again. But, yeah, I did look at the American Pharoah, and I think game winner at this stage of his career. I love the Del Mar Futurity. Roadster, you know, that's the horse Baffert gave to TMZ, but reality was game winner was faster on debut and showed it in the Del Mar Futurity, and I think we'll see it again here stretching out. Certainly no problem with the pedigree. He's number one on my Derby list right now. It's early. It's a novelty. It's a nice talking point. But the right now is this race, and he's the right horse for it.
Yeah, I agree with Ed there. I think that game winner is going to be able to stick. We'll stick close to Gunmetal Gray, who's the pace setter in there. If Roe Aiden takes back like everybody expects, like the owner is saying he's going to. So to me, if he puts him away, that's your most likely outcome in my estimation is game winner Gunmetal Gray. But I do like think that Heffy is a little bit intriguing for Keith DeSormo. I wouldn't be surprised to see him come crashing. And if you were like looking at playing a straight exacta, you might consider Heffy for seconds.
James, did you look at anything else out west?
Yeah, I looked at the Chandelier, Steve, and I like the Del Mar May. I like the.
So did I.
I thought that was a pretty good effort first time, two times out. Plus, I like her speed rating, and I think she's going to get the right setup with the hot pace in there. I mean, that's a race where you can make a case for every entry in there, Steve. But I'm going to go with Jimmy Creed Philly for Baltus Del Mar May.
I thought she had a look in there, and she's certainly going to be the right price. I mean, you're going to get every bit of the five, six, seven, eight to one in there. I agree, and I'm not afraid anymore to bet maidens in those kinds of spots. That's got me interested in social paranoia too in the Pilgrim. I know you guys will be busy all weekend, Oklahoma Derby Sunday and the Remington Oaks and that terrific card. And then we look toward Keeneland next week. You can watch James in a matter of 5 minutes on the on the Churchill feed. It's all hands on deck. And I'm sure you'll find Ed at some interesting lunch joint any minute in the Ville as well. Guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk ahead of Keeneland next week.
Looking forward to it.
Good luck, Steve.
Ed and James, everybody. Let's take a break, probably our last of the morning, and we'll come back to Hammer and kick off the autumn season at Santa Anita. And we'll wrap up the whole morning with a quick Mary Rampolini visit at the end of the show, too, to get an Oklahoma Derby and Remington Oaks look. Hammer from Santa Anita. After this, stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Porschebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We are back at the races, coming up on 11:30 here in the East, 8:30 in the racing office at Arcadia. Santa Anita Park kicks off today, underway 1 o'clock post time, Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern. Hammer, good morning.
Hey, we're back live. We're back live. Opening day. But first of all, how about those ramps? Huh? Not too bad last night. They look good in it.
Go ahead. You had a big week. I mean, you had the Steelers pulled the fat out of the fire. I was happy for you the other night.
Yeah, that was that we needed that for sure. And it's nice to see a good local team doing well, and the Coliseum looks full, which is very cool. So anyway, that's good. The Dodgers are doing okay, so it's a good feel here. And we open up today, so it's Sports City here. A full October, yeah. But we're happy to get back. Like I said, we talked. It's nice to have a little break, but it's good to get back. And nice, beautiful day. It's going to be it's a little overcast now, which we like, and the sun will break out, and it'll be in the 80s, I think, today and tomorrow. So perfect California week to get going. Couple quick things that are kind of new for this one. We talked about it, but I'll just review it real quick. Fridays are going to be the Stronach 5, so this is the first one here. And by the way, John Sadler might stop by. If he does, then we'll let him. I wanted to kind of get a feel of what he thought about leading into the big race and his horse. And he has a running mate now with West Coast in there, which is kind of cool. So if he comes in, we'll just veer to him. But we have the Stronach 5, which is going to be every Friday now, which is good, and which all the Stronach tracks will be involved in. So for this meet, we're going away with the $2 pick six. It's not going to be for this meet. We're trying out the Rainbow Six Gulfstream style, the 20-cent wager with one guy. One person has the thing. They has the only ticket. Excuse me for the pick six. They get they'll pool. If not, 70% is paid out, and 30% goes into a carryover. So we're trying that out here in the short meet. And once again, we like to try stuff in the small meet, so we'll see how the reaction is. We have a big program. We're trying that again for this meet, too. We'll see how the reaction is for that. I think that's basically it. Other than that, we're ready to go. We start with the Eddie D today, and I think it's been 4 or 5 years since we decided to open on a Friday and decided to make the Eddie D the opening day feature, and it's worked out great. And Eddie's in town, and I know tomorrow there's a Hall of Fame signing for all of our current Hall of Famers and past Hall of Famers that basically made their living in Southern California, jockeys and trainers as well. And there's a signing tomorrow in the paddock before the races of all kinds of. They're giving away a poster and stuff. So we're getting right back into the thick of things, and we think we have 8 stakes in 3 days, and we're ready to go.
Well, then, of course, next weekend will be a three-day week and tremendous action next week. Meanwhile, Hammer, between the Stronach 5 today and the Eddie D, any thoughts that you can impart? I had Quigley yesterday. We went over that fourth race today that is your second leg of the Stronach 5, and he and I had fairly similar thoughts. He was warning people about Hot Autumn as a potential controlling speed up front. I think she'll get some company, and don't blame Judy as on my tickets. And I think she, as a standalone race play, I thought she was the right price to use in there.
Right. I'll give you we just scratched. I'll give you a couple scratches out of that race. The two, Sappho, and the six, KPP, scratched, and which means the outside horse, Lexington Grace, draws in, and I think she's live in there.
Wow.
So I went through this as well. It looks like a kind of a paceless event. I agree with not a whole lot of natural speed in here. You have the Hot August horse, first time on the turf. I'm not thrilled about those. I came out 5-1. Really a tough race. I narrowed it. I like the one a little bit, dropping down. Obviously well thought of, coming out of three graded races. Didn't like how she didn't perform that well last time she dropped down to this company. But her lone win is at Santa Anita. Maybe she'll like it a little bit. I think you get a little bit of a price on the one I like a little bit. The three, although it's a cowbred, this is a running machine. I believe leads the crew here in money earned. Seems to try every time, is having a good year, coming off a win in a cowbred. So it's kind of a horse is on a little bit of a roll, and it's going to be close to the pace. I kind of like that about him. And you mentioned Don't Blame Judy. You know, recent maiden winner going the distance at Del Mar, did not run bad here. I was two times on the turf down the hill. So I like those three. And now since the horse on the outside, you know I love those outside horses. But Lexington Grace draws in, is in for the tag as a multiple winners, won five times, a win type, and I think is going to be heard from. And see that? Look at how that worked out. John just locked in. So we can immediately cut to Saturday if you'd like, and
absolutely,
you know, you can. John's always a bowl of information, so whatever you want to talk to him about. So here's John, and carry on.
Well, you know, we always welcome John Sadler. And, you know, John, I don't know if it got back to you via Costa, but yesterday I was talking with Quigley, and we got to Vasilika, who is a major player, obviously, tomorrow in the Rodeo Drive. And I thought, given the Greek connection, I can't believe that you and Costa didn't claim Vasilika.
Well, you got to remember one thing, Steve. This is California. You can get out shook.
that's true. Had you looked at that horse, actually?
There for her. I believe there, you know, technically there was probably seven in there for her that day.
Wow. That's funny. Because even before this emergence, you know, knowing the very notable Greek tie-in, it made me think of Costa. Well, you got plenty of action anyway, and going into tomorrow and the Awesome again, probably good to get a little bit of a gut check and a challenge here with West Coast signed on.
Definitely another really good race. I mean, West Coast, you don't have to recite his credentials. Champion 3-year-old last year, just a top horse coming out of a top barn. So that looks like a really exciting race. I'm happy about my horse. He's doing beautifully. And, you know, we're going to line up and look him in the eye and see how it shakes out.
So, Steve, hold on. I wanted to ask John a question now that he's here and you're here. So we've got, like, different situations heading into a big race. Obviously, this isn't the goal. The goal is in 5 weeks down the road. So you have a horse like John. He's the number one horse in the country right now. Everything's going great, and he's heading into a prep race. So then you have West Coast, who's been off for 4, 5, 6, 7 months. He's headed for the same goal, but he needs this race, and neither one of them have to win. And, you know, I was wondering how John's taking this. You just cruising along and trying to keep your horse on the same level and hope he doesn't, you know, take a dip, or, you just look at every race to try to win every race.
I think you try to win every race. I mean, that's what we're trying to do. I was kind of hoping West Coast didn't go, you know, and I got the easy race, you know, but he's in there, so he'll probably have to run a little harder. But for my horse, he's in a good rhythm. And, you know, I had to decide, do I wait longer, just running the big one? I did that last year. It didn't work out. So he's doing so well. I just want to keep him. It's like a team that's playing, you know, every 2 weeks. He's hitting all these races in good shape. So we're just going to keep him right where he's at.
And in addition, of course, beyond Accelerate, a busy weekend getting the meet started earlier in the day, the American Pharoah, Sig Alert, a bit of an outsider going into the Pharoah against some of the two-year-old heavy heads. Some thoughts, John, about Sig Alert's progress since the summer?
Yeah, I think he's the horse that wants to run a mile and a 16th. We knew he didn't really want to run short, but I wanted to get a race in him in the futurity to get him ready to run two turns. So, you know, we're in there. Some of those look like they're a little bit ahead of him, but I think he's a horse that's going to progress forward, probably maybe on a little bit of a slower pattern. But I'm really anxious to try him around two turns. You know, a lot of these times you make up your mind on a horse too soon. And I really think this horse, the distance will help him.
He had a little bit of a rough start last time.
Yeah, I got bounced around a little bit, and actually, you know, visually finished up good, but wasn't really a threat at those really fast horses. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how some of them handle the distance.
Speaking of distance, you are involved in both of the downhill stakes today and tomorrow. Today, Sistron in the Eddie D, Saturday in the Unzip Me True Royalty. And Sistron absolutely has got races that can win. He's 0-for-3 going down the hill. However, 3 seconds, he's got a shot in here at 8-to-1.
He really does. You know, he's run 3 dynamite races down the hill every time. Been a little unlucky not to win the last one. But, you know, he's 8-to-1 because that's a really good race. You could, if you're a handicapper, you know, you could make a good case for, obviously, 3 or 4 of them. So it's a tough race. Don't let the name of it or the size of the purse fool you. That's a group race.
How about tomorrow in the 3-year-old fillies coming down the hill? You certainly drew favorably outside. The relationship with Ron Anderson paying dividends. Joel Rosario, who certainly knows his way around the course.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a nice filly. You know, she's been right there. The only couple times she got beat, I was running her against, you know, 4 and 5-year-olds. So the idea in this race tomorrow is to stick with her own age group. So she's in the 3-year-old fillies. I think she handles either surface good. You can see she's very consistent. So, and she's training just super. So, you know, we got the good outside post. Last time she won her last race out of the 10, which was kind of remarkable. So I think we're going to get a good trip, and I hope Rosario's not tired out by the last race.
Well, she's got the one race on the grass where she ran kind of evenly, kind of chased all the way around, and certainly hung in late. She's got the profile, John, of the kind of horse that succeeds down the hill. That 6.5, Hammer taught me this years ago. It translates really well with natural milers, and she feels like a natural miler.
I think so. If you look at her pedigree, she's by, you know, Is It True, and you know, I feel that way also. So, like I said, I think it's a good spot. Straight 3-year-old fillies. There's some nice fillies in there that are a little more proven on the grass than her, but I think she'll have no problem with the turf. When we shipped her north, the rider said she handled the turf well. She bled a little bit that day, but I think that was the travel, you know. So she's doing so well down here, we're going to give her a shot tomorrow.
Well, you're also giving a shot at Grade 1 opportunity on Sunday to Shenandoah Queen, and we've talked about Shenandoah Queen. I mean, everybody here is you know, in up against it, certainly against Abel Tasman. But coming off that win at Del Mar in the Tranquility Lake, feels like a great opportunity for her to get grade one black type.
Well, that's what we're hoping. I mean, I don't think she can be that Abel Talisman, but if she can be second or third in there, we're going to be thrilled. She's run well, some good races on this course here. So, and she's, you know, she's a hard knocker. So I hope it goes our way. We got a little bit of an inside draw, but Tyler will get her up and forwardly placed from that post.
John, a couple of notes, too, since we're together here and have the opportunity. Jay Privman and I, we were talking broad themes and Breeders' Cup lead-up, and one of the horses, actually with Marty McGee, too, because of Filly and Mare Sprint is his race for DRF. And we talked about Selcourt. Are we going to see her next week in the L.A. Woman?
No. She's going to have to train up to the Breeders' Cup. She got some bone bruising after her last race, and she had to have some time off. She just worked a half last Sunday, and she'll work 5/8 this Sunday, but she's not quite ready to run. So she's got to hit this mark where, you know, she has four or five really good workouts in a row to be ready for the Breeders' Cup. So we're pointing for the Breeders' Cup. Let's just hope it all goes smooth. We can't afford any missteps on this kind of timing.
Well, it does seem that the West Coast, with the very heavy hand going into it between Selcourt and the Baffert Fillies. You got to ask you, too, about Catalina Cruiser and his preparations toward the Dirt Mile.
You can watch all his races on XBTV. They get him all his workouts. They get him every week. He's going to work Sunday. I'll probably put Drayden on him Sunday to work. And he's going to train up to the Breeders' Cup Mile. Runs very fast numbers, and, you know, some people are a little disappointed he doesn't run against Accelerate, but they're going to have to live with that. He's going to train up to the Breeders' Cup, and he's doing just beautiful.
You know, some other players that we talked about over the course of the spring and the summer, you know, one horse going back to the Los Al meet, Edwards going left, and it feels like he was moving toward elite status at one point, John, and is kind of idled.
Well, he ran a really good fourth in the sprint at Del Mar, kind of closed really strongly, and then we kind of saved him for that stake at Los Alamitos, and I thought he got a bad trip the other day. He's a state bred stake. I thought he would have won it. Got beat with nose in the nose. So don't write him off your list. He's a nice horse. You know, he's had to wait a couple times in spots because I'm kind of deep in that race. So, you know, he'll be there. He's a gelding. We're going to enjoy him for quite a while and looking forward.
When are we going to see Claudel run back out of that good effort? I know she was a beaten favorite in the race downstate, but she's not long for her diploma.
Oh, she's doing really well. Nice filly. And you know, I mean, I guess if I say it, she runs next week. There's a maiden mile. So Rick's got a nice race for her in the book, and she'll be in there next week.
Outstanding. Well, John, and the final question, because I did bring it up with Jay, what are your thoughts? And you got to get these races out of the way and you know, make sure everybody's healthy and happy. But more thought, because I asked you this question a couple of months ago, early arrival at Churchill to give the horses a chance to really acclimate?
Well, I wasn't really going to think about it until after this weekend, but I read that kind of disturbing report out of there. So that doesn't make me want to rush over there.
Interesting.
You know, we'll see how everything shakes out, see how they do at Churchill this week.
Fair enough. And what John's referring to is an unusual spate of injuries at Churchill and four fatalities that has Dr. Scalay and everybody analyzing all parts of the surface. But it does feel like an isolated cluster. But they're doing everything they can to figure out if there's any, you know, any factors that can be identified in that group of fatalities. Well, John, off to what feels like a running start to the autumn meet, and the big eye is on the prize that awaits at Churchill, but some very big opportunities in the meantime, as always, appreciate it.
Yeah, we got some great racing at Santa Anita this weekend, no doubt. You look at all those races, it's pretty exciting, so it's a good weekend to watch horse racing from California.
Any time is a good time to watch California racing, and clearly the barn is going great. There's so many different horses that we've talked about over the winter. Catapult, too. I forgot to ask about Catapult.
Well, Catapult, you'll have to ask him next time because he had the boogie.
I got it.
The door.
No problem.
You think he's got a horse working, but it was good. I have to laugh because sometimes when we have guys in here, trainers or whoever, and I've got my forms all marked out, and when you talk about a horse, I try to put it in front of them, you know, so they can kind of look. Most of them know they don't have to look, and I'm always scared about putting up, you know, I've gone over a race, I put an X through their horse or something, and I put it in front of them, and it's like, oh, geez. But I didn't have to worry that with John's horses, but I did that with someone one time. I forget, you know, No Shot I rode on there, and I, here we got him on, and I'm in front of there, and I'm like, oh, man, that doesn't look too good. So,
well, anyways. Is Catapult possible for the City of Hope?
City of Hope? Maybe.
Maybe? All right. I forgot about him.
Yeah, I did too. So until you mentioned it, but he went out. But no, I'm glad Jod came in and jumping right to the awesome again. You know, it always kind of wonders that, you know, the different ways to get there. Neither one of those horses has to win the race. And you know, John's just trying to maintain, and Bob's trying to get this horse back on, you know, back to form. And as we've seen time after time after time, there's no such thing as of coming out of the Baffert barn as giving them one. When they hit the entries, they're ready to run. And but he does definitely need this race to move forward to the Breeders' Cup. There's no doubt about it. So last week it was going to be accelerated 1-10, and we kind of watched them go around. And now we have a little action in that race. I think that's they really kind of juiced up the day for sure.
Agreed. When you get that kind of a matchup, and there's nothing wrong with the Lieutenant, certainly in there. You know, we love him. We got Justify's brother. We're going to have to. I've been rooting for him from word go, and you know, Prime Attraction has got the isolated performances. Not that I think he can upset either or of the two principals, but Prime Attraction looking for black type grade one opportunity again here, and Cassidy is very good at that. And in fact, Cassidy is dotting the entire weekend. Let's talk about the Rodeo Drive Hammer. What do you want to do in there? Because, you know, clearly Cambodia, the horse to beat, and Vasilika, but it's right. It's a competitive group.
So, if you remember, every time we go through one of these, and you know, we have every, if you win a race, you got to toss them, and it worked last time. We had Vasilika, the only one who hadn't won the stake. Every other one did. Boom, she popped at $10. But now you run into there's only a couple horses that fit that system, and one of them is the three-year-old. On the rail, paved. She seems to like it here. Going, you know, she's 2-for-4 at Santa Anita. I think she likes the longer distance. I give her a little bit of a shot in here. Rosario gets on there for Mike McCarthy, but you know, Tom Proctor. He hasn't stayed here last couple years. But halfway through Del Mar, he called up and said, you know, give me a couple stalls. So. He's here with like 8 horses, and they're all good. You know, they're sprinkled around the stakes, and you know, he's got one, and he's got Caribou Club in the Eddie D today, and he's got Cambodia here, and believe it or not, he's here to win that surfboard with the 2-year-old filly he's got on the turf. That's what he wants, is that darn surfboard. But you know, Cambodia, if you look at her. I don't know. She just ran out of room last time. I know she's never gone a mile and a quarter. She looks like she's just dying to do it. But I think you picked the right ones, Cambodia. And Vasilika, I don't know. I don't know when she's going to stop. She just is just with Jerry. You know what Jerry's just got her feeling as happy as can be. And, I mean, she went from running the March Madness starter handicap in April to a grade 2 winner and with authority last time beat Cambodia. So those two are tough. You know, watch out for Sophie P., grade 1 winner here. Hasn't really put it together since then, but really hasn't been discouraged She won here on the lawn, so that would be my one that's a little bit out of there. But these filly mare races out here, they're a total grab bag. So you kind of toss the favorite when you get there. So that's why I would look to someone, you know, Sophie Pish or maybe even Paved Upset.
Hammer, I'm going to slip Mary Rampolini in before we wrap, yep. But anything else you like in here on Zip Me or in the two-year-old races?
Yeah, the Unzip Me. I guess tomorrow's first, Mr. Baffert has another monster in there to keep an eye on down, you know, as we go on, and that's the improbable, the City Zip, they say is a real, real, real good one. So not for price, but just for maybe future consideration.
Well, he's also got that comical ghost
the Godolphin. You're right.
This is a half to Lady Montador, and is out of Hysterical Lady, and Comical Ghost has been keeping top company as it happens. So
yeah. Hysterical Lady, boy, she'd have won that race at Monmouth at 10-1, and that filly mare.
Don't even, please. Yeah, exactly.
Unzip me real quick. You know, you've caught on to the style. You look for those milers that are dropping back. There's a few in here that fit. Pulpit Rider fits that. Sappho from the D'Amato barn. I'm looking at it from the outside, and my form doesn't have odds because I printed it a little early. But Miss Bad Behavior coming out of the Oaks,
yep.
Coming out of some distance races. You notice her form is just fine going down the hill, one first, one second, and like we've talked and tried to teach people, those are the horses that do well here. So I think this is a bingo on the way out the door, Miss Bad Behavior.
I liked her myself, absolute.
And I didn't see the prices, so it's probably 5-2 or something. But
no, 8-1. 8-1.
8-1. You're kidding me. Oh, I just picked up my head there for that one. So I mean, look who she's been running against. Fatal Bear or
oh, I take that back. I take that back. My original thing had her my early. No, it's 7-2. I'm sorry.
7-2. Well, that sounds about right. And in a race like this, I don't think you're going to see too much movement up and down. You got John's horse, which he talked about. True Royalty. I mean, she's coming off a graded stake win. And also another one dropping back, and her turf form is fine as well. So the outside there looks good. But no, everything is progressing along. One quick thing, we've got where's my note here? Oh, I forget. Steve from Seattle called me a couple weeks ago and said he was coming to town, and I got a box for him, but he never called me back. I got to get your last name, and he said he was going to. So Steve, you're in town. You know who you are. Get me back, and we'll get you in. We'll get you in for the next couple of days. We got a box for you. But tune in. We're glad to be back, and we'll review it all next weekend, and then talk about. I think we got 6 or 7 stakes next weekend. So glad to be part of Friday, and then a big day tomorrow, Steve.
Absolutely, Hammer. I appreciate it, and we'll be watching and playing. And NBC Sports Network, 7:00 Eastern Time for the coverage of the Win and You're In races. And then on Sunday, I wasn't going to let Remington go by the boards without at least 2 or 3 minutes with Mary Rampolini and the Oklahoma Derby, the Grade 3, and the Remington Park Oaks. And boy, they came up great. And it's also a huge card of stakes action. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, special Sunday card at Remington. They just have two for the year, and this is a special one, and they actually have an afternoon post of 3 p.m., so kind of a real big day for Remington, their biggest on the calendar, really.
Let's talk about the Oklahoma Derby quickly. I had Steve Asmussen on Monday, and every three-year-old that we were talking about that he was considering, they all showed up in here. Lion Knight, Lemation, Combatant, and Retirement Fund. But they got plenty of competition.
Boy, it really did come up, like you said, a good race. 11 head in there, coming from a lot of different directions. I mean, you know, I think what's really interesting is you have, of course, Wooderson, who is the half-brother to Rachel Alexander, coming in from New York, and Seafoam, who's been a real New York bred standout, coming in from Belmont Park, and John Service has a couple of horses that he's shipping in, Diamond King and First Mondays. Those will be his first starters in Oklahoma, let alone Lone Sailor, coming off a second to Limation in the Super Derby, and And, you know, Steve Asmussen, the leading trainer at Remington right now, you've got to look at everything you've got in there. You know, Combatant's very nice horse from early in the year who has some Remington form.
Now, Believe in Royalty as well, coming out of the Ellis Park Derby for Larry Jones and Baker and Mack and Brary Jones. You mentioned the two John Service horses. First Mondays had drawn the rail for the Pennsylvania Derby, and then Service opted for this softer spot. He ends up drawing the far outside, which may not be a killer as it happens. There's horses to his inside who look to have some speed, and so First Monday should be able to get over pretty quickly and not lose too much ground. This is a serious horse, and he's going to be overlooked. And I know that John Service thinks very highly of the lightly raced Curlin Colt First Mondays, a $450,000 Maryland bred from Dr. Bowman, who bred him. And I would take a long look. First Mondays is going to probably make his way into my plays. The girls' race also drew a nice field, and we got a few familiar names, but there might be some newcomers in here to consider as well.
Yes, you know, She's Julie should be a strong favorite coming off her runner-up finish in the Alabama. But like you said, Steve, it's an interesting race. You know, we've got Cosmic Burst, who was a really nice filly this spring at Oaklawn. She's getting back on the main track. She ran on turf last time. And she's got some proven Remington form. And so she's a really nice filly. And I think another filly that's interesting is Alba Robello, coming in for trainer Todd Fletcher. She's a foal to the AZ Warrior, you know, the Frisette winner from a year or two
sure.
ago. So this is kind of a nice group of fillies, and a big field again, too. Like you said, 10 head going there.
Well, Mary's top play, or at least her tab, Cosmic Burst in here. And you like Wooderson in the Derby, and it's all stakes action, the Vance as well, and so much more. It should be a terrific afternoon and early evening there at OKC. Remington Park's big day. Mary, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve.
DRF Rampolini, follow Mary on Twitter, and she followed a strong morning that included Hammer and John Sadler, Dave Grenig, Mike Welch, Nick Tamaro, Jay Pribman, Marty McGee, HRRN this afternoon and tomorrow, and everything else here on SiriusXM. Good luck this weekend. Good luck today. I'll talk to you Monday.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.